Good morning, Christ Church. It's good to be with you today. I'm Pastor John Spade. I'm lead pastor here. Today is the first day of Holy Week. Do you know what the church calls the first day of Holy Week? I hear it. What is it? Palm Sunday. Yeah, you can see the palms up here on the stage with me. In fact, as you go out today, we have a palm cross for you to take home with you, to remind you that this is Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week, and the events that Jesus set into motion that resulted in the forgiveness of our the forgiveness of our sin. So I'm going to encourage you, go ahead and pull out your Christ Church notes. They're there in your worship program. You'll find them right there. While you're pulling those out, I want to tell you that today we're actually kicking off our Together We Rise Against Hunger campaign. You know, as a church, this is our second year doing so in partnership with our friends next door at Temple B'nai Shalom. Together we are rising against hunger to do something that at least for us has been unheard of, because in 4 days this year, which is May 30, 31, June 1 and 2, we're going together pack 300,000 meals to send to hungry children and youth and adults in places around the world where they're starving. You talk about an amazing gift to people. It's certainly the gift of food when you're hungry. You know, 300,000 meals is what we're going to do. Last year, we did 250,000. This year, 300,000. In fact, you'll find out in the, as you're exiting today, you'll find these little red cups that say, "Together we rise against hunger." What I'm going to encourage you to do over the next few weeks is to take your spare change out of your pocket at the end of the day, drop it into the cup, and then bring it with you. When you fill it up, bring it with you, and we will use the change in the cups to help fund these meals. Each meal is 30 cents a piece, and that includes not only the packing, but also the transportation of all those meals to some place around the world. So God bless you as we do this together, and together we rise against hunger. Well, we're going to begin today. Today is the sixth week in the season of the church year known as Lent. It's also the sixth week in our series called Believe from Head to Heart. You know, we have been examining the line by line, phrase by phrase, statement by statement through the Apostles' Creed to discover what it is that we profess to believe. What do these things mean? Today we're going to be talking about the forgiveness of sin. But before we jump straight into that, I've got a little quiz for you. You always like my quiz, or at least you're polite enough to tell me you do. All right. So I've got five short questions, this quick Holy Week kind of quiz today. So here's the first one. Here's the first question. Why did the crowd wave palm branches on that very first Palm Sunday? All right, so is the answer A, palms symbolize victory in the Roman Empire, B, palm is the Latin word for return, or C, hearts of palm were considered kingly food? Okay, answer A, is it? Raise your hand if you believe it's A. Raise your hand if you believe it's B. Raise your hand if you consider it C. The answer is A. A. Palms symbolize victory during the Roman Empire, when kings would return from battle with all their gear and would parade into the cities, the crowd would line the streets and wave palm branches as a sign of the victory that has been won during war. Okay, so that's the first question. Number two, what is the meaning of the word Hosanna? Hosanna, Hosanna. Is it A, save us now? Is it B, the Lord is coming? Is it C, holy is the Lord? Okay, so here we go. Those of you who believe it's A, raise your hands. All right, B, raise your hands. C, raise your hands. And the answer is A, save us now. Save us now. So that's the answer for the question. You know, when the crowd was waving their palm branches, they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, meaning God save us in the ultimate way, from the inside out, save us. So save us now is the answer for that, the word meaning Hosanna. Okay, here's the third question. What was Judas paid for his betrayal of Jesus? Okay. All right, is it A, 20 pieces of gold? Is it B, 30 pieces of gold? Is it C, 30 pieces of silver? Okay, for A, raise your hands. Okay, is it B, raise your hands? Is it C, raise your hands? Yes, it is C. He was paid 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. That's right. Okay, now, question. Next one is, who denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed? Is it A, Paul, B, Peter, C, Judas? All right, put your thinking caps on. Here we go. Is it A, Paul, raise your hand? Is it B, Peter, raise your hand? Is it C, Judas, raise your hand? All right, Peter, Paul, is it Mary, raise your hand? All right. Okay, it is who? It's Peter. That's right. B is the answer. It is Peter. That's right. Okay, last one. And this was for you former Roman Catholics. Okay? All right, I always love to give one of these. All right, here it is. What is the only day that Roman Catholics do not celebrate Mass? The only day of the year they don't celebrate Mass. Is it A, Holy Thursday, B, Good Friday, C, Holy Saturday, or D, Easter Monday? All right, so here we go. Is it A, Holy Thursday, raise your hand? Is it B, Good Friday, raise your hand? Is it C, Holy Saturday, raise your hand? Is it D, Easter Monday, raise your hand? You know, this is pitiful. A lot of you aren't even voting out there. All right, let's do it again. Is it A, Holy Thursday, raise your hand? Is it B, Good Friday, raise your hand? Is it C, Holy Saturday? Okay, is it D, Easter Monday? The answer is Good Friday. It's B, it's Good Friday. In fact, it is the only day of the entire year that Roman Catholics do not celebrate Mass is on Good Friday. All right. Well, that was fun. It was for me anyway. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Okay. So for the past 5 weeks, you know, we've been looking phrase by phrase, statement by statement through the Apostles' Creed, right? The belief from head to heart we've been talking about. You know, what we've learned is this. We have learned that the Apostles' Creed was not written by the apostles themselves, but was based on the teaching of the apostles from generation to generation to generation, okay? So not written by the apostles. We've also learned that the Apostles' Creed is the oldest, most comprehensive creed in the Christian church. It has roots all the way back to what century? Do you remember? It's the second. Has all the way back to the second century, the Apostles' Creed. And the third thing that we've learned is that every major denomination, Christian denomination in the world, accepts the statements of faith in the Apostles' Creed. Nobody argues with these statements within our Christian denominations. So let's confirm together or profess together the faith that we believe. It's there on your notes. It's going to be on the screen. It's the Apostles' Creed. So I'm going to ask you this, church, what is it that you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That's what it is that we profess to believe. Now, I said to you this morning already that today is Palm Sunday, right? Today is Palm Sunday. It is the day that Jesus rode a donkey for the very first time that we know of, rode a donkey from the top of the Mount of Olives, which is right outside of Jerusalem, rode down the road across through the Mount of Olives and into the city of Jerusalem. And he entered Jerusalem that day for the very last time. It was the last time that he would enter the city of Jerusalem. He was going there to do something that the crowd didn't expect. You know, when Jesus arrived at the top of the Mount of Olives and sat on that donkey, the crowd who had gathered to see this big parade, they were thrilled. They were waving their palm branches. They were shouting, "Hosanna," which means, of course, what? Save us now. Yep, which means save us now. They were really excited that Jesus was coming in. But you know, it's interesting that what the crowd thought that Jesus was going to do when he got into Jerusalem didn't materialize. He had an entirely different mission in mind. You see, what the crowd thought that Jesus was going to do is that he would enter into Jerusalem and he would incite a holy war. That's what they were thinking. That Jesus would come into Jerusalem and incite a holy war with the Roman Empire. And the result would be that the shackles of the occupying Roman Empire would be thrown off of Israel, that Israel would be able to rule and govern itself. But that wasn't what Jesus had in mind at all. You see, the crowd thought that their greatest need was holy war and to be saved from the Romans. That's what the crowd thought, that their greatest need was to be saved from the Romans. But what Jesus knew is that their greatest need was not to be saved from the Romans, but to be saved from themselves, and that is to be saved from their sin. He came in order to begin the events that would result in the forgiveness of sins. That was his arrest. That would be the trials. That would be the crucifixion. That would end up being the resurrection that would result in the forgiveness of sin. See, I want to say it again because I think it's important for us to understand. The reason why the crowd was so excited that Jesus came in on Palm Sunday was that they believed that their greatest need was to be saved from the Romans. Jesus knew that their greatest need would be to be saved from their sin. Now, you know, for us Christians, this whole business of forgiveness of sin is really is one of the hallmarks of the Christian faith. It's one of the hallmarks of our faith. You know, the line in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in the forgiveness of sin," let me tell you, it's not there by accident, folks. That line is not there by accident. You know, when you say that you believe in the forgiveness of sin, you are making a very, 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 very powerful statement about who God is. You are saying something about the power and the nature of God every time you say that you believe in the forgiveness of sins. And when it comes right down to it, the major difference between Christianity and every other religion of the world is this. See, we believe in a God, or we have a God who, go ahead and put it up, who confesses his love for us, who claims that he wants to know us, and a God who expresses his desire to, look at this, to forgive us. You see, as followers of Jesus Christ, we believe that we have a God who confesses the fact that he loves you. He loves you more than anything that you could ever believe or imagine. We believe that we have a God who claims that he wants to get to know us. He wants to know who we really are, to have a relationship with us. That's what this really means. He wants to have a relationship with you. And we believe that we have a God who expresses his deep desire to forgive us. It separates Christianity from every other faith in the world.